Today I want to talk about, for a few minutes, I want to talk about the two baptisms. Is my mic on? Yeah. And the two baptisms. Jesus said, or John said, I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus even said the same thing. He said, John baptized you with water, but soon you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power. Water baptism is an outward sign of an inward work of grace. Okay? It's when we recognize that Jesus Christ really is who He said He is, and Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, and He's our Savior. And so we bend the knee to Him, and we ask for His forgiveness. We invite Him into our heart. We do the ABC thing. We admit that we have sinned. We believe God's promise. And we confess that that we accept the gift of salvation. And we receive Him into our life. And when we do, Jesus promises that He will come in. Jesus says, you open the door, I will come in. And I will save your soul. And I will save you from your sin. You will live forever, and you will have new life in Christ. He supernaturally comes in. He justifies you, which means He doesn't justify your sin. You know, He doesn't say, okay, from now on, sin is okay, and all the sins that you did before, those are okay too. Go ahead and keep doing those. No, He justifies you. He says, just as if I had never sinned, just as if you had never sinned, He says, I'm wiping your slate clean. Okay, I'm erasing the marker board of the list of your sins. Those are all erased, and we talk about the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, washing away our sins. We are initiated. We are adopted into the family of God. When you receive Christ into your heart, God becomes your heavenly Father. He becomes your dad. Okay? And now you are an heir to everything God owns. What's that? Everything, okay, and heaven and eternal life in particular, okay, and so you become a child of God. You become initiated into the family of God. You start to become a Christian. The Holy Spirit cleanses you from sins that you have committed. And so when we get baptized, that's what we do. We have this box up here. Somebody said it looks like a coffin. And I said, that's not too far off. Because when I'm baptized, it's like the old self is buried and dead. And the new self with Jesus in my life, in my heart, is resurrected. The Bible actually says, if we are buried with Christ through baptism into His death, won't we also be resurrected with Him? Absolutely we will. Raised to a new life. Raised as a new person with a clean slate, moving forward with God as my leader, my forgiver, my Lord. That's the gospel. That's the plan of salvation. Okay? That's the plan of salvation. Why do we need this? Because we have all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. How many is all? Okay, it's pretty much everybody in this room, right? Present company included. All have sinned, and guess how many fall short of the glory of God? All. We fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? We fall short of being able to get our own way to heaven. It's kind of like this. I'm playing games with the video. If I'm here, then God's over here. So here's God. Here's me. Okay? And my sin has created this chasm. Have you seen this illustration before? Some of you have. And so all have sinned and all fall short. It's kind of like religion. I can take a running jump and try to get there by religion, by being religious and condemning other people's sins and doing a bunch of religious stuff, okay? And that'll get me so far. Take my run and jump. I could try to be moral and do good things, and I take my running start and my jump, and that falls short as well. Okay? Philosophy. I can be really super smart, and I've got it all figured out. There is no God. Okay? Or I've got it all figured out, you know, just feel feelings of love. That falls short. Because of our sin. Sin separates us from God. God is holy. No sin. And what's around God? Where does God live? He lives in heaven. I want to go to heaven. What heaven do I want to go to? I want to go to the real one. What's the real one? The one that God made, not the one I invented in my mind or with my philosophy. I want to go to the heaven in the Bible, because that's the only one I really know exists. And so how do I get there? All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. Now listen to Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Wages. What are wages?
What we earned.
What we've earned. Usually we think of wages as something positive. I put in 10 hours, getting $10 an hour. My wage is $100. And then after taxes, it's 33 or something like that. and so it's what I earn. But the wages of sin is death. What do I mean, death? When Adam and Eve sinned, they brought death into the world. Adam and Eve were never supposed to die a physical death. They were supposed to live forever. When Jesus comes back and the new heaven and the new earth are established, that will be the new reality. That will be the restored reality. Everybody lives forever. Okay? But when they sinned, they brought death into the world. Physical death and spiritual death. And this, if God is life and He's the source of life and I'm separated from God, what does that mean about me? I'm dead. I'm spiritually dead. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, Romans 6:23 goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So we build this cross here, you know, and can't see it very well. We have this cross here. Okay, and pretend like there's like a tunnel here. Okay, we have this cross here. And because of what Jesus did, I can just walk right across this bridge to God through Jesus. Listen to what Romans 5:8 says. Romans 5:8. God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners over here, Christ died for us. He bridges the gap. The righteous for the unrighteous. The holy for the unholy. The pure for the impure. Jesus, the God-man, for mortal man and woman. Okay? And so if we put our faith in Him, listen to what Romans 10 then says. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that's what we do at baptism, we say Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved. Over here. Saved. You will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, remember, just as if I'd never sinned, and it is with your mouth that you confess that you are that Jesus is Lord and you are saved. Okay, and with your mouth confessing, you understand that's got to be real, that's got to be genuine. You don't just say magic words and abracadabra, Jesus is Lord, I'm saved. Okay, it's not like that. It's from the depths of your heart. Jesus is Lord. He is ruler. That's the first baptism. Now, when the apostles were going around to... I'm going to move again. When the apostles were going around after Jesus had rose from the dead, and they were finding groups of Christians here and there. People had already believed, and they had been baptized. And they had been baptized a baptism of repentance, like John had said, you know, I want to turn away from sin, I want to turn to God, I want to put my faith in Christ. So they were Christians. And the apostles would ask, Paul and Peter would ask, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they would go, huh? What's that? I never even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. Like, oh yeah, Jesus said, John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The baptism of water is an outward sign of an inward work of grace. The baptism of the Spirit is this infilling of the Holy Spirit that does two things in your life. It purifies you, purifies your motives, gives you 100% clean, pure motives. When you think of pure, think of water, and you go buy bottled water because you think it's maybe going to be more pure, till you find out that somebody's in the back with a tap and just filling them up and setting them out in there. But you think it's going to be more pure. What does pure water mean? What does that mean? Nothing but water. Just water. They've filtered out impurities. They've removed non-water stuff out of the water. Okay? And so to have pure motives means I no longer have mixed motives. I no longer have mixed intentions. I no longer have intentions that are kind of one foot in Satan's world or in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. And I kind of want to play it both ways, and I kind of want to be selfish, and I kind of want to look out for number one instead of living for Jesus. When you have pure motives, when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit baptism baptizes you, your motives are purified to where it's all about Jesus. Remember what I talked about last week? I said Jesus is what we're all about. Jesus is what this church is about. Jesus is our product. Jesus is the only thing we really have to offer. I love the music this morning. You guys danced, sort of. Kind of Wesleyan version of dancing. I did this. Did anybody do this? I did. Feel free. Feel free to dance. Just don't get your feet on the furniture. And what was I talking about? Oh, I love the music, but that's not our product. Right? Sometimes I preach pretty good. That's not our product. Okay? We have some wonderful donuts out here. That's not our product. We had coffee. That's not our product. You have a cushion to sit on, you know, a soft seat and an air-conditioned room. That's not our product. We have one product, that's Jesus. Because He's the healer. He's the source. He's the forgiver. He's the leader. He's the restorer. He's the one that puts the broken pieces back together. Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's our product. He is Lord of all. He is King of kings. He is the conqueror. Okay, it's all about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes into our life. And when He baptizes you with His Spirit baptism, you are all about Jesus. And you get a lot of that old junk out of you. And He sets you free from addictions. He sets you free from guilt and shame. He sets you free from the habits, hurts, and hang-ups of the past or the present. He brings freedom. That's Spirit baptism. It's purity and it's power. When Jesus purifies you and purifies your motives, that is a powerful force. You become a powerful force for the kingdom of God. And you don't even have to be outgoing or outspoken or be a preacher. But when you are intent upon Jesus Christ and He's your focus, your life starts to impact those around you like throwing a rock in the pond and the ripples go out. You start to make an impact for Jesus. Whether you're a Christian or not, you will impact at least 40,000 people in your life. Think about that. They've done these studies. 40,000, that's a lot of people. I couldn't name 40,000. I don't think I could name 4,000 people in my life. 400 maybe, you know. But when you are baptized with the Spirit, that ripple, they become waves. And those 40,000 people, they don't think about you, they think about Jesus when you impact them. Okay, you become effective for the kingdom of God. You become powerful. And every believer should seek to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't teach here that speaking in tongues is the sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the sign of salvation or of being Spirit-filled. What we teach is that the fruit of the Spirit is what shows that the Holy Spirit is in you. And what's the fruit? It's character. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those kinds of things. It's part of that purity, and it's that power. Every believer should be seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? You surrender all. You give it all to God. You say, God, empty me. I empty myself. I lay it all at the cross. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but the life I live, Christ lives through me. That's the Spirit-filled life. That's where God can really use you and work through you. That's where your motives become pure. It's like that's called consecration. I consecrate myself. I fully devote. I'm hopelessly devoted to Jesus. Does that make sense? Let's pray. I'm going to say two prayers. And you can like repeat after me in your heart. All right? The first prayer has to do with water baptism. It's a prayer to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, to come to Him and have your sins forgiven. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I am a sinner. I need forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. I freely and wholeheartedly receive this gift of salvation, this gift of eternal life. And I want Jesus to be my justifier, my forgiver, my leader, my Lord for all of my days. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this prayer is the other one. Let's pray. Jesus, with all that I know that I am, and with a promise that anything else you reveal to me in the future, I lay it at the cross. I give you me. All of me. When I came to you for salvation, you gave me all of you. I have all the Spirit. But now I want to be fully baptized in the Spirit by giving my all of me to you. Every nook and cranny, every room of my heart home. The front room, the back room, the kitchen, the bathroom, the bedroom, the closet, the attic, the basement, the storage shed, the secret places that nobody else knows about, I surrender all of them. Set me free from besetting sins. Set me free from habits, hurts, and hang-ups. Set me free, God, and take over. I surrender my pride. I don't need people to look at me and think of me and think I'm a great guy. I need people. I only want people to look at me and think of you and that you are an amazing God. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I lay down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every ear that hears me. Let it be all about you in my life. I gladly receive the infilling, the baptism of your Holy Spirit to make it all about you. Purify me and empower this life that you live through me. In Jesus' name, amen.